Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. September 9th, 2020. Loans and credit, non-compliance with the laws of nature. Question. One of the types of economic relations is loans and credit, when one party receives money from the other and after some time has to return it with interest. Is this in accordance with the laws of nature or not? Answer, no. Not in any case, any interest at all. Do you want to lend to someone else? Please help him, and he will help you later. You are not doing it to make money, you are doing it to help him. We all live on the same small globe, and we must help each other. People who exchange objects or goods, from the result of their labor, should not pursue profit, it is just a natural exchange. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, June 4, 2020. Will people lose their desire to be rich? Comment: the media is in the hands of wealthy people, and therefore they change public opinion. If today they sell household goods and services, in the future they will sell products and services of a social nature, and still profit from it. My response: why do they need to profit? They will not feel any fulfillment from it. Well, what sort of necessary things can they purchase? If we give them normal development, they will not enjoy these gains. Let's say a person buys a castle. What will he do there? Walk around and catch ghosts? Everything depends on the development of a person. If you give him the right upbringing, he will not have such needs. He will need normal communication in a normal society. Nothing else. Question: but before we get to the stage of proper education, someone has to start implementing this education. Who? Answer: we, the Kabbalists. Comment: but for now, all funds are in the hands of rich people. I don't think they've lost their desire to be rich. My response: never mind, gradually it will pass. This is unavoidable. This is the law of nature. According to the plan of nature, we must come to a state of complete harmonious connection with it, that is, to become an integral community. Question: what is relative equality in society, and how to not come to equalization? Answer: there should be no such equality in society as under the Soviet regime, when everyone was driven to this happiness with a stick. Question: indeed, everyone has their own needs. How can this be determined? Answer: you need to give a person what they need. And then he will reduce his needs to the necessary level due to the education he receives. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, June 4, 2020. The education of a lifetime. Question: the aspects of family are the birth of offspring, the satisfaction of sexual needs, emotional support for each other, and the upbringing of children. Almost a third of our lives are devoted to their education. What is the reason for such a long period? After all, this is not observed in the animal world. Why is it arranged so? Answer: man is a very complex being. A person needs to be brought up so that he can not only maintain himself at the animalistic level, but also be a social being and get the skills to interact with his own kind. These are not just skills in a pack that clearly dictates the rules of behavior from a young age and is understood by all. There is a different adaptation of the person to the environment. He must understand the psychological, internal, mental, and spiritual state of others in order to be in the right balance with them. Question: the more a society develops, the more time is needed to develop communication between people. If a few thousand years ago 5 to 10 years were enough for this, then today or in the future it will be necessary to educate people for life? Answer: sure. Why not? We will learn and work on ourselves all our lives, and all our lives we will change ourselves and the world around us. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 21, 2020. like cells in the body. Question. A Kabbalist cannot work with a huge number of people at once. First, there must be some small cell. Can we say that 10 people are such a mini society, where everyone will constantly check their attitude toward others? Answer. This environment not only supports a person on the earthly level in good connection with others, but also, by uniting with them, he begins to feel a common desire, common goals, a common system of correct interconnection between 10 friends, so that in the end they form a system called the upper world, or Patsuf, or soul. And the inner strength in this system is the creator. Question. It turns out that these 10 people are like a cell in the body, which is starting to cooperate with other cells and form organs. Answer. Right. Every 10 that we try to create from our like-minded people will connect with other 10s to form one organism together called the common soul or Adam. Question. Thus, a person, starting to work in a mini-group, goes beyond his egoism thanks to constant work in his 10 and can already connect with other people, with all of humanity. How does this happen? Answer. As cells in the body connect despite the fact that each cell belongs to some specific part of the body, a specific organ, through all other cells, it is connected to any other. And this is what the general system Adam, man, is. From CabTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel December 9, 2019. The Kabbalistic criterion of generation. Question. A generation is a collection of people living in a certain historical period of time. It can be identified according to three criteria: one, shared historical era, shared specific patterns of behavior, and a certain shared collective life experience in it. In what periods would you divide generations based on the laws of nature? Answer. Observing our history over thousands of years, it is possible to divide the eras according to some specific criterion. Since I am engaged in the science of Kabbalah, I divide everything that happens in our world, including generations, according to humanity's aspiration to the goal of creation. Therefore, the period starting from ancient Babylon, when the method of Kabbalah was created under the leadership of the ancient Babylonian priest Abraham, who made a spiritual revolution and called people to unite on the principle of love your neighbor as yourself, is very important for me. Remark, in the holy books, this generation is called the generation of the diaspora. My comment, indeed, it gave impetus to the dispersion of people around the globe. The next generation is the generation of the Exodus from Egypt, the realization of egoism as evil, the rise of the group of Abraham above their egoism. Question. 10 generations passed from Adam to Noah and from Noah to Abraham. What did the sages base their judgment on dividing these generations and giving them names, for example, the generation of the desert? Answer. We are talking about a group of people who lived in the urge to find the meaning of life, to reveal what governs humanity, the reason and purpose of its origin, and where it goes. Therefore, first of all, it is necessary to determine what can be called a generation. I believe that it is the aspiration that people have regarding the purpose of creation. That is how I divide all historical intervals into generations. They are very different at that. There are generations that may be 1,000 years old, and there are those that change over the course of several decades or even less. From CabTV's The Post-Coronavirus Era May 21, 2020. New Life 1275. Altruism in the Era of the Big Ego.
Shalom lachem, toda shetem itzarchu.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. And today we would like to talk to Dr. Lightman about an interesting phenomenon, the phenomenon of altruism. be with us, Nitza, please. Nitza. Yeah, the concept of altruism is something that we're familiar with as a phenomenon that exists in nature, but also anyone who is engaged in sociology and so on are familiar with the concept of altruism. It's where an individual contributes to someone else or to others at the expense of his own, of himself. First of all, he does everything to their benefit and maybe then thinks about himself. And so there's a kind of a very interesting conflict here in this process of altruism, because it contradicts the perception that says that the fit survive, the Darwinian law that says that first of all I have to take care of myself, I have to survive, and then maybe I'll take care of someone else if I'm okay, if I'm well off, because altruism is actually the complete opposite. And so it's very hard for us to understand how can a person be an altruist, because he's not by nature. So first of all, what is altruism in nature as you see it, Dr. Lightman? We see that nature consists of plus and minus, two particles that are opposite, the opposite of each other, opposed to one another. And if we're talking about any compound, like the most elementary particle, an atom, there are two forces there together. There isn't, one thing cannot exist without the other. We say, okay, this is an electron, this is minus, this is a proton, it's plus, that can't be, because someplace there is something that is its opposite, because otherwise we won't be able to identify it. And in nature, these things can't exist one without the other. So what I want to say is that altruism, just like our egoism, it is the force of nature, a force of nature that exists on the levels of the still, vegetative, animate, on the speaking human level to some extent. And it has to be that way. And therefore, don't look at it as something like, okay, where does that come from and what is going on? But because our nature is egoistic, where we think about ourselves, so of course there's the anti-opposite force that as if tends toward others, and even though that we don't feel it, don't use it, and it's not that clear, it doesn't that clearly exist before us like our ego that we identify in everything, but it happens, it exists. And therefore, we have to say that the evil forces or bad forces and the good forces to begin with exist in nature. And therefore, everything depends on a person, the state that he's in on part of nature, and in what way does he use the forces of nature. Nitza, would you say that the altruistic force, which is the opposite of the minus, that it's like a potential seed, or is it evolved? Dr. Lightman, it's very evolved in special ways, in special cases. For example, when we give birth to children, when we care for our relatives, when we love someone. So, we treat those that we love by a force called love, giving, and those that we don't love, hate. Accordingly, we treat them the opposite, egoistically, that we want to get all the good that we can out of them, for them to have no good. And these are the forces that we relate to reality with. So it's not only in a person, but it's all also in the nature, the still, the vegetative, and the animate. Because what are plus and minus in an atom and a molecule and all the compounds of elementary substances and everything? It's also all based on the same principle. Owen, you said that when we love someone, We care for them, we give them. But if I analyze it, then I see that if I love someone, then to care for them and to give them, it's only because I feel that that person belongs to me, like my children, for example. I care for them more than I care for myself. So I don't feel that there's anything altruistic about it. It's not towards others. It's for my own, Dr. Lightman. True that it's natural. Call it natural. And therefore, we do not take these feelings into consideration, and we don't say that you're an altruist. But if you treat others that way, that toward others, you have no special attitude or relation to begin with, then we say that you're an altruist. Nietzsche, so altruism in general does not contradict the evolutional process, but it's a part of it. Dr. Lightman, a part of it and a bit hidden from us, the way it acts, but it always acts a bit behind the scenes, maybe. Nietzsche, yeah, it is hidden because even when we searched for researchers in the field, there are many unsolved questions. What motivates a person to behave altruistically? There's relatively a small percent of people that derive pleasure from helping others. It's not clear what their motivation is, that's true. Now, the development of altruism as a part of the evolutional process, do you see it as something that will later develop into something bigger, more central in our life as human beings? Dr. Lightman, we have to understand that there can't be one without the other. It's like in the universe, in nature, that here we have positive particles, and here you have negative particles. This is how we call them, but, you know, this is just how we call them, but they are one opposite the other, and parallel to each other. And if we develop egoistically, like our society does, because it's clear to us, our will to receive is growing all the time, demanding its realization, correction. So it makes it so that somewhere there is also the altruistic force that is added, only that it's hidden from us, and it waits for it to also come out to the stage of history saying, this is me. It's not only the ego that's acting in the world, but I do too. And I was behind the scenes up until now, but now I'm revealing myself. Oh, and there's a feeling that we're living in the age of ego games. In the past, people also had an ego, and they fought over power and money and respect and so on. But today there is a feeling that as if the games of ego became the force that simply controls everything. Dr. Lightman, it's in order for us to reach the biggest possible ego and understand that we cannot control ourselves and the world by the force of ego, but that we also need the other force, the altruistic force that is anti-ego, that in the correct balance between the two, we and the world can exist. Owen, but when you look at people that care for other people from the heart, most of the people that look at someone who's a good person, that gives of himself, that contributes, let's take people that volunteer. Many people volunteer to help with different social projects, other things, but let's not blur the truth. Even more people do not. Dr. Lightman, it's natural because we said that the force, the altruistic force of bestowal is hidden. So today, in the age of the big ego, what does it mean that those people that really help, what's going to happen to them? They're going to disappear, Dr. Lightman. Yeah? You see, this is how our world is. It's becoming entirely bad fallen, and what kind of society will this lead us to, Dr. Lightman, to the recognition of evil, because we'll see that we can't exist this way. Owen, there's the expression of everything but being a sucker. There are people that when they see someone who helps and volunteers, that contributes, they won't tell it to their face, but in their heart they feel, look at him. Something's wrong with that person. He's a sucker. What's this feeling that we feel that when we see someone helping, and I don't feel like helping anyone. I'm not necessarily talking about myself, but I don't feel like volunteering, helping, contributing. I have my own problems. So, Dr. Lightman, we have reached such an extensive egoistic development that if there is even a spark of bestowal of altruism in someone, we make fun of it. It's something to condemn in our eyes. You see what we came to? And therefore, we have reached a state where it is the end of the history of the ego. Today, we're at the end. Oh, and the end of the history of the ego. It seems like the ego is in power. Dr. Lightman, no. Now the ego is only starting to show you how incapable of anything it is. That is called the recognition of evil. Previously, you thought that the ego can bring you to a good life, and someone who doesn't do it is a sucker, like you say. But now, not anymore. Now your approach will show you and everyone else that by it, by your ego, you can't reach anything good, but to the contrary, you finish with your life, with the world altogether. You have nothing. You don't know how to get out of it, and there's no way out, because the ego finished its role. Oh, and when I look at what's going on here in Israel, suppose there is a feeling of paralysis, meaning that everyone, because they act by the power of the fist and are very opinionated. They do what they want, and others do the same, and then this game of egos causes us to be paralyzed. Doesn't matter in what field. We as if neutralize each other, paralyze each other, and the outcome is that there's a feeling that the Israeli society is paralyzed, can't move, because all the time this game of egos is paralyzing it. When you're saying that the force of the ego is showing us its end, you mean this paralysis that we can't move, Dr. Lightman? Of course. We are reaching a state where, in this life, we have no right to exist with our ego anymore. The ego has no right to exist anymore. And we're gradually coming to that. All the castles that you've built previously, all the dreams that you built for yourself, nothing left from it. If you continue with the ego, you degrade to a state where it's simply better to die than live this way. Colin, let's go back to the other force. Like in nature, there's plus and minus, and the vegetative, animate, and in people too, there is a kind of spark of altruism, Dr. Lightman. But a person has to want for this altruistic force to grow in him and to balance out the egoistic force. Nitsa, a person has to go through a psychological revolution, transition, because altruists are seen as naive people. Dr. Lightman, it doesn't matter what people think. It's true. And in order to want to use the altruistic force, it's necessary to understand. There has to be some kind of change in perception to understand the altruistic force isn't something naive that has to do with someone who doesn't understand the rules of the game, but to the contrary, that the rules of the game don't work anymore. So the transition to starting to use the altruistic force, how does it happen first and foremost? How does this transition, Dr. Leitman? First of all, we do not let go of the altruistic force. We continue working with it. Only we go through something called the recognition of evil, to the measure to which we use the force of our ego, but in a bad way, and to the measure to which we can use it in a good way. Because you can't live without the ego. I have to fill myself in order to give to others, and the other also has to fill himself in order to give me. And this way, mutually, we have to reach a state of balance between give and take and take and give, up to the point where our society will be a balanced and good one. Owen, is the egoistic force limited? Dr. Leitman, it's alone, it's one, it can't be without the other. Owen, and what do we have to add to it, Dr. Leitman? Bestow? Giving? Owen, why? Dr. Leitman, because there can't be just one force. Even in an atom, we see it consists of two forces. Owen, nature built the atom consisting of plus and minus. Dr. Leitman, yeah? So why didn't nature build me too, Dr. Leitman? It did. Only nature wants for you to build yourself by yourself, for these two forces to be in balance in you. Owen, why, Dr. Leitman? By this you reach a state of balance, and in this balance you discover the higher force in nature. Owen, Nitsa, do you understand? Nitsa, I'm not sure. Owen, then ask? Nitsa, first of all, I'm trying to understand. I understand that altruism is a kind of a more advanced form of living, of life. So, first of all, is it a form of life that all people will have to acquire at some point? We'll all be altruists. Dr. Leitman, we'll all be altruists, and we will use our ego in order to receive, and our altruism in order to give. And then each of us will be balanced internally. A person will receive in order to live, and will live in order to give. Nitsa, so it's not that you're completely giving up the egoistic force, Dr. Leitman. No, there's no life without that. Nitsa, so the egoistic force is going to continue to be a factor, Dr. Leitman. This will be one of the forces that life consists, is made up of. Nitsa, so this transition into this different game, how does that egoistic force that was used to playing one way suddenly starts playing or acting according to new rules? Dr. Leitman, it starts understanding that it can't exist egoistically in its simple, direct manner. It will not be allowed to do that. But the opposite, yes. In the opposite way, yes. And then, since there's no other option, it starts receiving and giving, receiving and giving. And by starting to give, there is an attitude that is being developed toward giving. And there's a feeling that giving is a much greater force, unlimited. It's not limited like the force of reception. I can give to everyone, and the more I give, the more exalted I feel that my life is, less limited, that it's truly eternal and whole and perfect. Meaning, in giving, we have the ability to feel life as something unlimited. Nitsa, so what I understand from your explanation is that my ego, that's how it sees it. Up until now, you try to receive all the time, get something, but reception is limited. There's a certain limit to how much you can receive, and that's it. But the giving is unlimited. And in that, actually, there is a There is a kind of ability to enjoy much more, and therefore you're telling me that you recommend me to shift to a different method. Dr. Leitman, I'd add that you have no choice. Nitsa, okay. Dr. Leitman, because according to the plan of nature, we have to shift to a life of, to living in the force of bestowal and not in the force of reception. And this means that I receive from everyone and give to everyone. And then we reach a system of relations between us in which everyone receives and everyone gives. And this is how everyone is toward everyone else. And this way we reach an unlimited interconnection between us called the world of Ein Sof, of infinity, of limitedness, of unlimitedness. Owen, what's your interest in all of this, in all of your actions? What do you get out of it? Dr. Leitman, to delight everyone. Owen, to delight everyone. Dr. Leitman, yes? Owen, how did my interest change? Dr. Leitman, because I start feeling that this is the meaning of life, that it's worthwhile doing. Owen, why? Dr. Leitman, because by that, I start feeling that I am on an unlimited level of life. I can't explain it. If you're not in it, it's impossible to explain. Oh, and a person's natural interest is to care for himself. Dr. Leitman, it's a very limited form. It's like a baby. Or even a grown-up. Dr. Leitman, well, we're not talking about people in this world. Or I'm completely talking about people in this world. You said that in the still vegetative, animate, and in human beings, there's plus and minus. But you said, look, in a person, the altruistic force of giving isn't that developed. You have to develop it yourself. So I want to go through this process with you. Nature didn't give me an interest to benefit others, to do good onto them. This is how nature made me. It made me as a creature that thinks about himself, Dr. Leitman. Yes, Owen, so I don't have to feel bad about it. Dr. Leitman, not at all. It's nature, Owen. So it's natural for me to think about myself and my children. So you're telling me now, look, this is a limited way of thinking, and evolution will take you to a more advanced state. So I'm asking, in this more advanced state, what is my interest? Does it change, Dr. Leitman? Yes, Owen, from what to what? Dr. Leitman, to bestow on to others. Well, and who do I think about myself, about my own benefit, about what I get out of it? Dr. Leitman, you're thinking about yourself the way you think about the entire world. Oh, and this I don't get. Dr. Leitman, I believe you. This means that you feel that you're spread out in the entire world, that it's all you, that it's all yours. And the more you give and fulfill everyone, by that you actually succeed, gain, transcend, and then you get this opportunity of receiving from nature such fulfillments that you pass on to the entire world that fulfill you limitlessly. What you pass on to others, actually on the way you acquire for yourself. And then what follows is that you've acquired the entire world. How? By giving to them, passing on to them.
Oh,
this creature, it's like a more evolved creature than today's human being. Dr. Leitman, true. Oh, and as if evolution is taking us toward a development, Dr. Leitman, true, for you to become a sucker in power. Oh, and I don't want to be a sucker. Dr. Leitman, you started. Oh, and but I don't want to be a sucker, Dr. Leitman, because you're giving to everyone. And you gain from that. Oh, and I'm all about how to gain from this, but the picture that you showed me is the complete opposite of being a sucker. What I understood is that I go and grow and expand, and everything's me. It's the opposite of being the sucker. It's the greatest thing in the world. You become number one, Dr. Lightman. True? Olin. Okay, we talked about altruism. Why does it exist, and where is it supposed to take us? Dr. Lightman, altruism is supposed to take us to a feeling of a whole, complete, and eternal life, meaning that the entire world, all the worlds, which is something that I can't explain right now, but all the worlds are mine, all the fulfillments are mine, and I am in an eternal life without any limitations in every given moment, above time, space, and motion. Well, do you have to be really smart to go through this kind of development, Dr. Lightman? Not at all. Only to listen a bit to what the wisdom of Kabbalah advises you to do in order to come to that as quickly as possible. Owen, Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.